Welcome to Lynn Cullen Live, talk radio without the static. Email your questions and comments to lynncullenshow@gmail.com. And now your host, Lynn Cullen.
Yeah, that'd be me. Welcome to the shortest day of the year. From here on out, it's going to be a little more sun every day. So actually about 3 minutes a day. But that piles up pretty quickly. Just trying to be optimistic here, which is, you know, doesn't come readily to me. It's a Tuesday, so Susan should be there. Hi.
Hi. I almost wasn't. I couldn't get the phone to work, and then I realized I was leaving out the area code.
Oh, well, geez. Huh.
I don't know. You know, brain fart, as it were.
Yeah, I know. God, there's so many of them these days.
So
I
want to tell everybody out there how they're ruining our lives. I was just talking to my sister last night, and this is how the conversation went. No, no, save it. No, no, let's not talk about this. No, no. Right?
Well, we talked for a long time before I said save it. We did.
Yes.
I mean, what I mean by save it is save it for the show in case people didn't understand.
I know, but yeah. We're just having a freewheeling conversation, and it turns out it sounds just like the show, just in case you're wondering.
Okay, you know where I said save it? I remember now. I was about to tell you, share something with you, and I thought, no, we got to stop this because I need your reaction to this because it's something I don't understand. We'll get to some heavier stuff in a second, although this is heavy. There's nothing that's not heavy anymore. But this is something that was on my Twitter feed. And
you're not heavy. You're my sister.
Even if I were heavy, I'd be your sister. And I am. One of the things I'm having to fight right now in food is comfort. It's like in vino veritas, in wine there is truth.
Yeah.
Well, in whatever food is, there's comfort.
Absolutely.
And so you get, especially in these short, dark, cold days of winter. Anyway, this is what I saw on the Twitter feed, and I'll just read it to you. It's from a guy named, Larry, and his post is this. This afternoon, my wife of 51 years, sitting a foot away from me, passed away. I will be okay, but right now I need a little time to regroup. My reaction to that was, what the hell?
I mean, is that where we are that we tweet, hey, by the way, my wife died not a foot away from me. I'm a little freaked out.
Yeah, so I won't be posting maybe for a day or two. But, of course, I posted this.
Right.
Even though my wife
my first
instinct years.
Was to post.
What the hell? And see, if this were a young person, I'd say, if he's been married 51 years, this guy.
Well, there's a lot of old guys that spend way too much time.
Can you imagine his wife died, and one of the first things he does is tell a bunch of strangers about it.
Well, I'm sort of glad he noticed.
Jesus. Well, she was only a foot away, so whatever. But, I mean, I just thought, you know, I don't understand anything anymore. I don't understand. I thought I knew people a little bit, and I obviously don't. Man, we are being treated to a crash course in human, I don't know what, frailty, folly.
How easily we're trained and habituated, you know, really.
Wow. Well, I just have to say that just unbelievable. I'm sorry, but if one more thing.
Yeah.
One more thing before I get into heavier stuff. I mean, this is from the science section. I love the science section, but I just want to read you this first sentence. In rivers and streams across the globe lives a tube-shaped carnivore. It paralyzes and captures its prey with a crown of tentacles, then draws the prey through its mouth, which also serves as its anus.
Well, it's a worm of some kind.
It's a hydra. A hydra.
A many-headed one?
Well, this is the thing. It turns out, you find out in the second sentence, that it has the ability to regenerate its entire body or parts of it, including its head. And it can do it from just a pile of cells or a scrap of tissue.
So a hydra never dies, it just regenerates.
So
it might become a totally different hydra over time, but because it's always kept something from, you know, its DNA goes forward.
Its DNA would always be the same, right? Wouldn't it? Yeah, the DNA.
Yeah, the DNA goes forward. Even though the entire being might be eventually replaced. Very interesting.
Yeah.
We could learn a thing or two from the Hydra, many-headed or not.
But I have to say, I think that reads like, you know, like some, you know, nightmare monster thing.
Of course.
A carnivore paralyzing its prey with a crown of tentacles, drawing it through its mouth, which
and
also
how, and how large is this hydra?
Well, I don't know. I'm sure it's a little guy, don't you think?
It's absolutely right. Minuscule.
Yeah. So it would not be. Oh, God, what goes on in nature. Woo. Oh, okay. So this afternoon, I guess it is, the president is speaking.
And we're all going to – here's what I think is amusing. Apparently, we're all about to get one testing kit.
Uh-huh. Maybe one. That's right. He's supposedly going to say he's making a half a billion testing kits available. And, yeah, everyone's going to get half a billion. Let's say, okay, not everyone wants one because some people are little teeny kids or they're someplace else and don't need them. But even if a half a billion – that doesn't.
That's one test once.
Well, that's one. That's somebody else worked it out to. I mean, for who would probably be needing them or getting them? At most, it's three tests, which is also not the point. You need a household would need what? As many as five.
Right. Well, for example, I went looking for tests in Wisconsin before I came back because they are not to be found in Illinois. And in fact, I found some. But when I went back to that place the next day to get some more, they were already gone. And I went to another place and it said limit two per person, even though they had none. And I was going, well, what if there are five people in your house? Two does you nothing.
Well,
and each test comes with two, but the way those tests work is to be taken twice in ensuing days, you know, so I don't know.
Well, here's the other thing. They cost, I mean, you get two tests for about $25, which means, and this is something Susan and I were talking about last night, which means, again, that poor people be damned. I mean,
poor people aren't testing.
No. It's the luxury of those who can afford to have a bunch of test kits at home, put out $100 and more to have a store of them. So this is where the Biden administration has not done a good job in this regard. But I'm a little surprised that his speech is at in the afternoon. Aren't these speeches usually in the
At 5 o'clock or 5:30 or prime time?
Well, I think maybe they made a calculation that they really don't want to draw attention to the fact that all hell's breaking loose again.
Or they just want to cover it on the news all day.
Yeah. So I want to read a few things from people in the know. This is from the head of emergency physicians in the state of Rhode Island, Dr. Nadine Himmelfarb. She says, "What, Susan?"
It's just the way you said it. I wasn't laughing at her name. It's the way you said it.
A nice Jewish name.
Yes, of course it is.
Himmelfarb. Okay. So Dr. Himmelfarb said, "Our state healthcare system is currently collapsing. Imagine patients dying while waiting to be seen by a doctor who is 50 feet away and because of lack of staff, simply unable to treat them. This is a true tragedy, and it is currently unfolding in Rhode Island." Now, what's interesting about that is this thing has barely started up. Says here, Wisconsin, ICU beds, entire state, 96% full now. Here is a virologist at Harvard Medical School. "We are in deep trouble. We should have learned our lesson, but we grossly underestimated this virus and were unprepared for COVID coming back in a newly transmissible and virulent form, and we're going to pay the price." And he then urged Americans to cancel holiday plans, their parties, their travel, avoid public transportation, go out only when absolutely necessary, and always wear a mask. Now, see, here's a guy who doesn't have to run for office.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying what he thinks has to happen. We know it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. So I don't know what.
No,
to
but
say.
I mean,
I could write the lead stories for 3 weeks from now. I can tell you,
America is dying.
That is going to be. Well, it's going to be horrific, and we know that now. Can I read one more thing, and then we'll just. Although you were going to try another tack, go ahead.
No. Oh, what did you just say?
I said, go ahead.
And what did you mean by that?
I was granting you permission to continue.
Yeah, I have no idea what I was going to say. That was like 4 hours
ago. Okay. Well, no, I mean, because this dovetails with our conversation last night, and I'll get a little personal here, but Susan has had the wonderful good fortune, as has my mom, of being able to be with family that have not been together for over 2 years.
Over two.
Well, with Eva and Ben and they live in London, but so my brother's daughter, who lives in London, is in the United States now, traveled here with her husband and young son. And they've been staying with Susan, and they went up to Green Bay to see my mother, and now they're in Ann Arbor with their parents. And everyone else is coming in, all of my brother's children. And I love these people. And there's two little babies I've never seen. And I was going to drive in to Ann Arbor and stay in a hotel and just go to see them and then come right back. I was going to test before but I was getting very nervous about it, because one sibling is flying in from San Francisco. One sibling is flying in from New York City. Others coming from Portland, Maine, and then add me from Pittsburgh to the mix. And it just sounds like the exact kind of thing that everybody, but we're all going to test and all of that. So I was really getting cold feet. So Susan talked me into going because she said, well, I'll say to you,
go ahead.
Your
point. Oh, sorry. Now we're even.
Okay. No, go ahead. You made the. I ran ahead with you. I just said go ahead again. No, you fucking go ahead.
I just think that this is how we're going to be living for a very long time, and those of us that are vaccinated and boosted have to start weighing risks versus rewards, especially if we're older. And or our families are far apart, and the few times that we can get to see each other are getting fewer and fewer and fewer. And so having just spent this time and knowing what we did, the people from London took the big test 12 hours before they got on the airplane. They took another one 3 days later after they got off the airplane. They tested daily. It made me feel a whole lot better. Before we went to see my daughter, we all tested. Before we went to see my son, we all tested. It's just becoming another layer. And you can manage these risks. If you really are uncomfortable about it, go and wear a mask. But do not deprive yourself equally important nourishment of the love of your family. It's enough already. You go be with your family. It's important. Do it smart. Make sure they will have all been there for a period of days before you go. You should know their health status by then, and you know yours.
But this guy from Harvard says we should all be essentially.
That's fine. Born. This guy from Harvard probably lives with his wife and sees his own children. We all have to take and examine the risks versus what it costs us to abstain from life. And I'm abstaining from enough of my life. If I have a chance to see my niece and her husband and meet my new grandnephew, I'll be damned. I'm going to do it. And I lived through it, and I'm still testing negative. I mean, it's just a matter of, so the other thing, and this is what even the most careful of my children says, is get over it. We're all going to get COVID before this is over.
Yeah, I know that, but I want to get it after we really have antiviral pills specifically, and after the next wave where there's a new variant, and you know what? This is ridiculous. We're going to end up being.
Do you want to lock yourself? You can't. I'm at the point where
I'm locked up
almost all the time, and so every once in a while, woohoo! I'm going to do what I need to do and enjoy my life. What's the point?
Well, right. I just think, again, I feel stop and think what you just said. I mean, about all the testing going on in our family group so that people could, you know, come.
Yeah, it was a very, it's, well,
privileged.
I mean,
privileged.
Well, it depends on where you're from. I mean, Eva and Ben from London showed up with packets that included 20 tests and just available there.
Yeah. Well, that's
the other part.
It's raging. Well, it's raging over there. Everywhere they've gone, it's raging, and it's just starting. And how the hell are they ever going to get back to England?
Well, you know, I mean, I think they're, you know, they're thinking, what's the worst that can happen? They'll be stuck here for a while.
Yeah. I really think that that's a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
So, I just, you know, I mean, people are getting it left, right, and center now. You got the governor of Maryland. You've got
Elizabeth
Senator
Warren.
You got Booker, Senator Booker, our mayor-elect, who takes office in 2 weeks, announced yesterday that he had a test that came back slightly positive. And somebody said, is that like being slightly pregnant?
Yeah.
You mean slightly positive.
That's like when Eric broke it to our father that he was in a little bit of heart failure.
I have here, Norman, is a little bit of heart failure.
Yeah, and I just looked at it and I said, what's that? Like a little bit of dying?
Is that a die? Yeah, doesn't sound good. Well, heart failure is one of those terms that sounds so dire, and yet people can live with heart failure.
Dad died of something else at 86. He was in heart failure for 30 healthy years.
Yeah, that's why I think that's a bad term.
It's a bad
really
term.
Because heart failure does sound like
it can be managed. It can be managed.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Right. Yeah. People should know that. Just telling you, because our father had it for forever.
What he did have on that incident, just so you all know, is a very broken pacemaker and no pulse.
He was greeting you at the airport, though. Yeah,
he drove over to the airport, and
airport,
I wouldn't get in the car.
Pick you up. Right. No pulse.
Well,
I remember once having a doctor say to me, I'm not getting a pulse. And I was there. I'm alive. I said, what do you mean you're not getting a pulse? I know I'm slow because I take after Dad. I mean, my pulse every year, and I got to wait a little while for the next one. It's slow. Gigi writes, I'm appreciating your discussion. I recently ventured out to watch my son graduate from college. Every student was allowed 6 guests, and I had visions of a huge crowd. I was prepared to watch the live stream on my iPad in the parking lot, but my partner sent me a photo of a huge convocation center with people sitting in their own section, so in I went. A few people did not comply with the mask requirement. Oh, God damn it. But they were pretty far away. I was very glad I got to see my kid graduate, but that was my big expenditure of risk. I'll be sticking to the sparsely populated hiking trails for a while now.
Yeah.
Good luck with making your decision.
No, I truly believe that. I mean, you know, I spend most of my life in solitary confinement, but there's got to be a reason that I'm keeping myself alive, and it's not to stay in solitary confinement, and there's no end in sight. We're going into year 3. So let's just try and manage our risks and be with vaccinated people who are managing their risks.
Yeah. Okay, time for a little levity. This is also from the science section.
Yes.
This is why I love this section. They have this one thing where people ask, you know, medical questions or science questions. And here I went nuts when I saw this. Why do women sprout chin hairs as they age? And what's the best way to remove them so they don't grow back darker?
I know the answer to the second one. It's hire someone that can still see and just walks up to you and plucks it out.
Yeah, right.
Usually
exactly.
when it's an inch and a half long and you can't believe you haven't seen it.
See, I always thought this proves that if there is a God, he's got one warped sense of humor.
Sense of humor, right.
Because what he does, I like the idea of God as a white male. It fits my sense of God. What he loves to do is wait till women and men, I guess, are getting very old. Then he takes their ability to see up close away. And then he makes hair sprout out of their nostrils, their ears, their chins, and they can't see them. And for women who wear makeup, there's all of a sudden when they put on lipstick, the lipstick always seems to end up on their teeth.
Also we
they
grow a layer of just peach fuzz that wasn't there before.
Yeah, and there's a lot of peach fuzz. So I remember when I first found my first chin whisker, the first thing that came to my mind was, not by the hair of my chinny chin chin. What's that from? Is that from Little Red Riding Hood? What is, which one's that from? Not by the hair on my chinny chin chin.
It's a Huff and the Three Little Pigs.
You think it's the Three Little Pigs?
Yeah. Doesn't the wolf come along to blow the house down?
Well, I'm thinking of the wolf too. And isn't the wolf in bed? No, somebody help us here. We have a literary.
Yeah, he might be the grandmother in Little Red Riding Hood.
I don't know though. Look, we'll be totally wrong, and it'll be Rumpelstiltskin. Not by the hair of my chinny chin chin. So I was so appalled because the first one I found was like almost an inch long, and it's right at the bottom of my chin, and it's, and I thought, what the.
And it's like they grow overnight. There's no way that you didn't.
No, I disagree. And the thing is, you're with people. And I make a point of having younger friends whose eyesight is not totally compromised. And, man, here's what I want to say to all of you. If you're with a woman and you see, like, a big, like, black hair growing out of her chin, tell her. It's like, it's the right thing to do to tell someone if they have spinach in their teeth. It is.
Well, it'll make for a really mortifying moment for both of you, but go ahead. You'll have a good laugh about it later.
I know. I have to, you know, I have a lot of old lady friends.
Well, old lady friends. It's absolutely, a woman to woman, absolutely, you must.
Some have dropped dead on me, but there were ones where I just couldn't believe the amount of hair on their faces. And I thought, this is, in some cases, I don't say anything because it's clear they don't, know. So you know what this is from? Of course, it's hormones.
Of course.
Once a woman goes into menopause, we start producing more male type hormones, androgens. Androgens, right. And they can transform the kinds of hair follicles. So when you get, it's always, I know where this one comes. You know, once you got one of those big things you see come out, that's the follicle. That's a follicle that's been changed because of androgen. So I'm now on this one. I watch, I see, I pluck it out, and then I wait. And I see it, usually waits for a while, and then bang, damn, there it's coming again. And you have to wait till it gets, you know, out there. But I'm on that one. I'm just wondering if there's others I'm not aware of.
Well, in 3 years when I see you again, I'll take a look. Where no, you've got also, you know, you've got to go to your brother's house because I gave them all of the stuff that you left at my house.
Right. How am I going to get it if I don't go? Okay. And and one other thing, because a lot of people have said, oh, don't ever pluck that hair out of your face because it'll grow back thicker and darker.
That's total bullshit.
Thank you. And that's
the follicle produces what the follicle produces.
Yeah, exactly. It's total bull. And in fact, the more you pluck, the better chance you have of damaging the follicle.
And it won't grow back. So and that's why women that over pluck their eyebrows, and then they go away. They stop growing back.
So you don't end up with eyeballs. I mean, eyebrows.
Your eyeballs usually stay. Unless you've been plucking your eyeballs, which, you know, sounds vaguely
painful. Hairy eyeballs.
Hairy eyeballs. Okay.
All right. Okay. So there was that. Just saying.
Did you read the viral obit? And I can't even tell you who it is.
Yes.
Okay.
And it was she was from here.
Ah.
It was in the Pittsburgh paper. It was also in the Fayetteville, North Carolina paper because her daughter lived there, and that's where she was most recently. And I think it was in some Texas paper, but it was the Fayetteville one. I mean, they're all the same. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I read it. I saw it the first day it appeared and went berserk. And I think it was the first thing I did on the show that day was
reading. Well, I just thought of you when I saw it. I said, oh, look. Lynn's got
this
a good old bit.
Boy, this is a doozy. You can't get better than that one.
What was it? She was survived. Oh, she was preceded in death by Don Shula.
Yes, by Don Shula and also Larry King, who she purportedly had an affair with, and the son who was writing it, the gay son from New York. Who was writing it, made a point of letting us know he was gay. He said, what did he say? He said that that people had tried to kill her many times, that she was, I mean, it, I forgot what I was going to say. It was funnier. It was funny. I thought it was a little over the top.
Over the top, right.
What he was doing was trying to go viral. That was obvious. The fact that he put it in all of those
newspapers, right.
And then kept it in for some time. It showed up for days in the Pittsburgh paper. So that was an effort for, to have his moment of,
for virility.
Celebrity. Yes. God almighty. Oh, he said, he went on about the Larry King affair, and then he said that he might be Larry King's son. He suggested that who knows who my father is. It could be, I think he went a little far in parts of it, but it was funny. Excuse me. Susan writes, not another Susan from Hempfield, writes, I hope to see posters on telephone poles similar to the lost dogs and lost cats posters. Lost. My empathy for sick anti-vaxxers and anti-maskers. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think everybody feels that way.
Almost everybody. Speaking of that, oh, God. Do you see some guy on Fox? Well, I guess he was speaking at a conference. What did he say about? It's unbelievable. Oh, Mike, I'm sorry. We've got a caller. I'm sorry. I haven't been seeing the calls. Excuse me. Go ahead.
Good morning, Susan. Good morning, Lynn. It's Mike in Upper St. Clair.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
So I'm calling to talk about, so go ahead, that comment. In the military, they've been doing this. They've been talking on walkie-talkies and whatever.
That's my claim. That's what I'm trying to explain to her.
Right. So in the military, though, you don't say go ahead to say that you've ended that you're done talking, you say over.
Right.
Right.
And then the next person, if they get it, they say copy. And then if everybody understands, you say roger that. So that's all that Susan is doing, is saying she's done talking, your turn. And you're taking it as like a directive somehow. So go ahead.
Oh, fuck you. Ah, that's tough.
Thank you, Mike. I always like a good champion in my defense.
Over.
Yeah. All right. Over and out.
Roger that.
All right.
Copy.
Have a good day. Bye.
Bye. Jesus. Okay, so listen to this. Not quickly changing the subject.
A guy,
Susan, stop it. A guy named Jesse Waters is a Fox News creep.
Yeah.
I don't know. He is. And he was speaking to a big crowd, probably at that conference where all of them, Rittenhouse was and all the other
reporters.
And he said something to the effect of, he told the crowd to ambush Fauci with a kill shot. So he doesn't, listen to this, so he doesn't see it coming.
Well, isn't that, I mean, excuse me,
I know,
arrest
so,
him.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. Why? These people have normalized these kinds of death threats against people to the point where action is not taken. Ambush, kill shot, and someone on CNN had Fauci on, and he told Fauci about this. And Fauci said, you know, this doesn't sound like Fauci either. He said, the guy should be fired on the spot. Which, of course, is true.
Right.
But considering the source being
Fox News.
Yeah. Won't happen. Unbelievable.
No, what's happened at Fox News is anybody with any with a milligram of ethics left.
Okay, that was my first big sigh of the show.
Yeah, well, that's awful.
Yeah,
and we're waiting for three verdicts of three women. Here, it's so nice that we're, at least in one regard, we're equal with men. We're now being charged with
women
awful
cops,
crimes,
yeah,
as,
women,
as with the same
cops,
regularity, right?
Innocent black young men or kids, women sex trafficking,
and women defrauding.
Oh right, I was wondering who the third was. It's Theranos.
Right, all the
Theranos.
Yeah, right.
Holmes.
Theranos. Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever. God dang it. Okay, so the most unbelievable horrific thing that I read today, because things are, you know, I've got two. The third grade.
Oh, that Nazi stuff.
Oh, my God. The third graders at Watson Elementary School in Washington, D.C., where the librarian had them acting out the Holocaust.
Complete with atrocities and basically, you know, and anti-Semitic slurs.
Right, dribbled.
This wasn't a lesson in, this was a bad thing. This was, let's have fun and kill Jews lesson.
I think one of the kids, according to one of the columnists here, said, because I haven't seen this in the other things I've read, said that one of the kids said, why did they treat the Jews like that? And she said, because they destroyed Christmas?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So the kid who she picked to play Hitler was a Jew. And obviously the principal is a Jew because his name, again, going with names here, doesn't necessarily mean he is, because I know people with Jewish names who aren't Jews, but his name's Berkowitz, okay? And
they could be son of Sam.
That's true. Well, but he was
Jewish.
Who
was Jewish?
Jews don't have a lot of mass killers, serial killers. But
I know. That was quite an accomplishment for that.
Yeah, I know. He put out an email that just made me snort. He said, "I want to acknowledge the gravity of this poor instructional decision." That's what he calls it. I hate this kind of speech, this kind of bureaucratic
because
speech.
By the way, it's wrong.
Yeah. I want to acknowledge the – I mean, all of this is so acknowledge the gravity of this poor instructional decision – rather than, you know, the hair on fire kind of statement that is a real.
Right. But let me apologize for this anti-Semitic, inexcusable anti-Semitic behavior that occurred.
And traumatic thing to these eight-year-olds. They had to dig mass graves. Some of them had to enact.
Go to the gas chamber.
Each other. Some had to. She told one kid to, you know, get off a cattle car and go pretend he was dying in a asphyxiation. My God. So the upshot of this is that this librarian, Imberlin Jurkowski, was convicted in October of 2013 of defrauding a school district in New Jersey of nearly $24,000, some kind of tutoring scam.
Well, why is the school district even hiring her?
Well, here's my guess, because it says here, the report from New Jersey said she had cooperated with the state and entered an intervention program, which is typically for first-time offenders and usually ends with the removal of a conviction from the record. So even if the D.C. district tried to do due diligence on her, they would not have found. And that begs a question.
I mean, if you're working with children, you know, I just...
You shouldn't be able to, yeah.
You shouldn't be able to pretend that certain things didn't happen.
Unbelievable. Have you seen the doctor's post on Reddit?
The one begging people to get vaccinated?
Nope. Oh, now don't tell me you're not coming up. It came up a minute ago. Why is this happening to me? Oh, and there's a little wheelie thing. God damn it.
This is my sister on Wi-Fi.
All right. Never mind. I got it. This is written by a doctor who has announced that he's leaving. He said, I, like many of my colleagues, am moving into medically adjacent work, which means what? That he'll be able to use his medical training
in some other way. He's fed up with dealing with people.
Yeah, he can't do it anymore. And it's a little long, but can I read some of this? It's unbelievable.
Sure.
He said, I've been able to deal with the years of patients who attended Google Medical School You know what he's referring to.
There. Yes.
That people come to the doctor and say, well, I Googled
them,
it.
Right. They become their Google experts, yes.
And he said, and I've learned to deal with the hours wasted explaining things such as why cinnamon can't be used to treat diabetes or that garlic and beetroot can't treat HIV. And Lord, save me from essential oils. Oh, we're too dumb to live.
Okay. Well, I mean, if he's just turning up his nose at everything but Western medicine, I think he's full of shit too.
Okay. Listen to this. He then goes on to talk about the horrors of treating people with COVID.
Yeah.
And he also says, I have never seen a horrible case of someone who was vaccinated. But I have seen people struggling to breathe through lungs that have hardened into uselessness, begging us to give them the vaccine now. And then he talks about all the things they do to keep them alive. We use paralytics and ventilators, then ease them off to see if they could possibly function. And as the drugs wane, the look of terror emerges, then the tears. We try to calm them, to swallow our desire to scream at them. But this is your fault. This didn't have to happen. Often their spouse or their neighbor, their uncle is nearby dying right along with them. I could deal with all of that. What I can no longer handle. And this is weird, Susan, because just yesterday I told of a guy who heads a hospital in Indiana who's related to a friend of mine, who told her that they are now bringing in psychologists to educate staff on how to do – what is that when you try to ameliorate a situation? To mitigation control.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Right.
When people, because their staffs are, they're being subjected to screaming, ranting.
Oh, mediators.
People.
Right.
Mediate, whatever. But they have to, and for the staff that's already, I mean, so stressed they can't see straight. Now they're being like screamed at all the time, which has happened obviously to him. He says, no, they are not screaming in anguish or in recognition of how their foolishness has led them to this point. They're screaming at me because, you see, I'm part of a global conspiracy to commit genocide. If only I would give 10,000 milligrams of vitamin C, even though the body can only absorb a maximum of 100 a day, with the rest creating the world's most expensive urine. They would be saved if I would just do that, or hydroxychloroquine or whatever, ivermectin, those, he said, those, and they assure me when I tell them that that won't work. They snap that I don't know what I'm talking about. I want, oh God, I want to tell them that if we are the ones responsible for killing their loved ones, then why the hell have they brought them to us? Why throw them into our clutches? And I know the answer. They know it's all lies, but their egos are so huge they can't bring themselves to admit it. Anyway, he goes on to talk about his breaking point. And the breaking point, this is where it gets longer, was a 36-year-old man, 38-year-old man, wife, two daughters, and he's dying. An enormous clot kept reforming in his leg. We've been forced to amputate his foot, trying to save his life. Don't let me die. Don't let me die. He kept begging, give me the vaccine. And he said, I had to tell him repeatedly, no, it's too late. The vaccine won't help you. He begged to see his family, and a nurse called his family. And because they had never come to the hospital, because they refused to wear masks. And so they wouldn't be let in.
All of these people.
What is with them? So this this guy's wife refused to see him because she would have had to put on a mask. And then the doctor called her. He said, I got on the phone and she ordered me to cure him with ivermectin. I explained to her that doesn't work. I was told I was ignorant. I asked her to come to the hospital to bring her children, at least wait outside. And somehow she agreed. And then the poor guy with the doctor holding his hand died. We tried to save him, but there was nothing to be done. He died. 20 minutes later, I hear from a nurse that the family was here, that they had made a ruckus down in the lobby, demanding to be let upstairs without masks and had been thrown out of the hospital. I went out to speak to them in the parking lot. I'll read the last paragraph. I stepped outside. I went to the wife, identified myself. I told her I was sorry that we had done everything we could, but her husband had died a few minutes earlier. I didn't manage to get the words of the sentence fully out of my mouth when I felt the fist strike my face and heard the screamed words, "You murderer!" I fell backwards, tripped, hit the back of my head on asphalt. I vaguely heard her screaming at me. I tasted blood. It turned out she had broken my nose. Security grabbed her. They were getting ready to call the police, but I knew if they did, I would become the next national target for the QAnon maniacs. I told them, just put her in her car. I wasn't going to press charges. I went back to the hospital. I started looking for a new job the next day. You don't even.
I don't know how they treat these people. I mean, you know that if you poll most of vaccinated America, there's a large group of people that don't think they should even be allowed in the hospital. You did this to yourself. Right. Go die.
Yeah.
Those spaces should be reserved for people that tried to keep themselves well.
Well, the frightening thing now with the ICUs, I know they are here very full. And as I said, Wisconsin is almost 100% full. And this thing hasn't even started.
Right. And there's a lot of reinfection, and especially among unvaccinated people that had COVID. They're just getting sick. So, because at a certain point, I keep thinking, how many cases can Wisconsin have? I mean, there's a limit to how many people are there.
Well, as you said, everyone's going to get it eventually.
Well, people are getting it 2 and 3 times.
A doctor wrote in a local paper here, the Tribune Review, an op-ed in which he argued that, I don't know about other states, but in Pennsylvania, there is a crime called reckless endangerment that
right.
Some states have it. He said, these people are killing people by not being vaccinated.
Well, Trump got booed when he said in a speech that he was boosted. I mean, they created their own, imbecilic monster.
It's really.
What's amazing is that more of them are not dying.
Well, there's been people are crunching the numbers. And in if you look at the counties, in the country that overwhelmingly voted for Trump, and then look at counties that overwhelmingly voted for Biden,
the death rate is much higher in the red countries.
Five times as high. So I think Dana Milbank in the Washington Post today wrote a piece about how the Republican Party now is a death cult.
Yeah.
And, you know, you talk about how, you know, like, it's what, who's that idiot? Why am I blanking on her name? Palin.
Sarah Palin, right. It went full.
Sarah Palin's popped back up. I think she must have been at the same place that the guy who said to ambush with a kill shot, Fauci. This is the gathering of the fine people of the Republican Party. And she said, you know, over her dead body, was somebody going to put a vaccine in her? Well.
Okay.
Fine.
It might very well be the dead body. You know, which is, we are bringing up the New York Times and the opinion writers. Did you see the piece about Thomas Friedman and somebody's
making
an ethics complaint because he didn't disclose where he gives his charitable funds? And New York Times says, I think quite rightly, that's not an ethics problem. The ethics problem runs the other way.
They did have some journalistic professorial type saying, well, that's the way it's been, but maybe this guy's got a point. Because where you give your charitable contributions suggests, I mean, if you look at Friedman's, it suggests where he stands politically.
It's absolutely no different than what he says. He simply puts his money where his mouth is, which he has every right as an American to do. What he doesn't have a right to do is take money and then espouse a view that the giver of the money has purchased.
Right.
It's just not, I just don't go there. And I think I just think that's a bunch of busybody nonsense. There are real issues here. Don't muddy the real issues.
Well, see, it's things like that which makes me crazy because of the cataclysmic consequential time we're living in, that this is something that we're supposed to waste our time thinking about. That's not, you know, it's like you triage what you're going to get upset about now. That is not.
We're supposed to be upset that Thomas Friedman, who writes about issues involving the environment and all sorts of, you know, basically, I guess, liberal causes, actually supports them. Duh.
Yeah.
Where's the misleading?
I don't know. And he's extremely, extremely generous. I mean,
he made a ton of money and he's given millions away to try and save the earth.
Yeah. Yeah.
What a terrible thing. Okay. It's disclosed. There you go.
Well, you know what? I remember early in my journalism career that there were some who said a journalist, I met one guy, I can't remember who it was, but I was stunned. He said he never voted because he felt that his need to be neutral was so constant that he couldn't exercise his right to vote, which I found so absurd.
That is absurd.
I was blown away.
You have a right to have a private opinion, even though you professionally exercise neutrality. You are human. I mean, who's he kidding? Just because he doesn't cast the vote doesn't mean that he doesn't have a preference somewhere in his brain.
Exactly right. Exactly right. Oh, dear Lord, help me.
Hello.
We're done. I think we're done.
59. Yes, almost.
I've got 11 here.
Okay.
Just saying.
Air Eastern time.
So, okay.
Yes, it is 9 now. Yes.
Okay. You mean 10.
10.
It's 11. Right. Or whatever. Go ahead.
get lost.
You okay. Win.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye. Bye. And you guys, I'll see you tomorrow. The day tomorrow will be 3 minutes longer, give or take a second or two, than today. Just saying. And that's the good news.
Lynn Cullen Live, Monday through Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. and archived at pghcitypaper.com. The opinions expressed on Lynn Cullen Live are those of the host and do not necessarily reflect the viewpoints of Pittsburgh City Paper or its advertisers.